In the mid-1960s, there was a number that loomed large for many American men, 26. That was the cutoff age for the draft. If you were anti-war or just didn't fancy going off to combat, it could be a race to stall the process long enough to hit that birthday before being hauled in front of the draft board. Fred Lonadier was very much anti-war. In the mid-60s, he was a student in San Francisco, and he realized at some point that graduation was coming, and without a plan, he was certain to be drafted. So he went with a sure way out, the Peace Corps.
We were looking for a way out, so we thought Peace Corps would be it. The men got a form that they had to fill out and send to their local board, and then you wait to see if they approve of your deferment for the 2-year period. I was also aware that you could ask to extend your stay in the Peace Corps for an additional year. And so I was looking to the cutoff for the draft. So they could count every bit as well as I could, and they could see that, you know, what I was aiming to do. So not long after I mailed the letter to the draft board, I got a new draft card in the mail, and the designation was 1A. And that puts you into the immediate draftable pool. So they were just basically sending a shot across my bow that when I graduated, I would be drafted very quickly.
Fred took that card to the Peace Corps brass. No problem, they told him. We'll appeal the ruling, and we never lose. The next letter Fred got was from the state-level appeals board, and it was another 1A card. Time for another appeal, this time to the very top. And meanwhile, Fred and his wife shipped off to their Peace Corps post in the Philippines.
You know, it was about 2.5 months that I got another letter from Selective Service, and it was a 1A by presidential appeal. And the next thing is we got a telegram from Peace Corps Manila, the headquarters, that there were tickets waiting for us to fly back to Manila.
What was going through your head at that point, that you were actually being forced to leave your Peace Corps assignment and go home to be inducted in the draft?
High anxiety. Now everything I was trying to avoid by going into the Peace Corps was coming undone. The choices were basically to either get drafted into the Army, you could go to Canada, you could commit suicide. We were anxious about my future. I wrote a letter to the Philippine Free Press and the Manila Times. I raised the question about the peaceful intentions of the President of the United States in this little micro choice to be made about whether this volunteer stays in the Peace Corps or goes into the War Corps. So they published these things. So when I arrived into the headquarters, they led us into this room with a very long table, and there was the Associated Press, UPI, Agence France. I mean, the world press in Manila was there to interview me. Is it true that you're against the war? Yes. What are you going to do? Well, you know, I have to go back. I have to consult my family.
It was a long trip home. And at every stop on the way, more reporters were there wanting to talk to him. Back stateside, Fred was in a holding pattern, waiting for his fate to be decided. He found his way to Seattle during this time, where he fell in with some like-minded folks.
A bunch of us then decided that we would form a draft resistance group and decided to call it Draft Resistance Seattle. We started to go down to the induction centers and picket. And so when the young guys came in, we would leaflet them and tell them that there are alternatives. There's conscientious objector. There's counseling. And then as some young men had decided to refuse induction, we would go down to support them.
And Fred, what would happen typically if someone refused induction? What was the consequence?
In almost all cases, they ended up being convicted of violation of selective service law, and they would be sentenced to 2 years in a minimum security federal prison.
Eventually, Fred got his notice to appear, and that meant there were only two choices left, induction or indictment. Fred learned that there was an especially harsh judge in Seattle he was keen to avoid, so he had his case transferred back to California and prepared to face the music at the Oakland Army Terminal.
And then in comes this lieutenant, captain, I don't remember, who explains to us that this is the swearing-in process to the U.S. Army. And so when he's done, then what he says is that all of those who agree to be inducted into the armed forces of the United States, please step forward. Probably 7, 8, 9 of us did not. And we're then assigned to a probation officer. There were so many hundreds and hundreds of draftees are refusing induction at the Oakland Army Terminal. So many that they had a hallway of offices with the probation officers right there. You go in, you sit down, they get the information from you. Who are you? This, that, where do you live? And then I just go back to Seattle.
These cases were clogging the courts, so Fred was left to hope that the system would drag its feet past his magic 26th birthday. Finally, he was assigned a federal judge in San Francisco. And the media was still following Fred at this point, covering his every court appearance.
I would go into court, and there would be several cases. And the judge would say, guilty, or sentenced to 2 years, suspended, finish college, suspended, get a job. Not one of these were actually going to go to jail. But then, finally, I had a trial, and the judge ruled against it and sentenced me to 2 years, but did not tell me to do something else, so I knew that I was facing jail.
Fred thinks he knows why he was getting tougher treatment. All of that publicity, the activism, and the interviews meant the judge had to go by the book. His lawyer filed more appeals, but at this point, he was pretty much out of options. And then one day, Fred got a phone call.
And it was my attorney, David Shagum. We won.
Fred's jaw dropped. He had been sprung on a technicality. Way early on, Fred had applied for conscientious objector status, strictly as a delaying tactic. The board had seen through this and summarily denied it, but that turned out to be illegal. Even a bogus application has to be processed.
And that meant that my local board had violated selective service regulations. And of course, legally, that's pure gold for the defendant. It's over.
Wow. And what do you remember feeling when that happened?
Numb. That had been 4 years since I applied for Peace Corps.
Fred would go on to become a professional photographer. He'd been documenting the draft resistance movement in pictures for years. He even joined the faculty at the University of California, San Diego. But Fred says he never forgets how fortunate he was and that many others were not so lucky.
They ended up in Canada. They ended up in the Army. Some of them ended up dead. Some of them ended up with PTSD of a serious nature. Some are living on the streets to this very day. So my political activity is to try to do what we can to challenge the direction of the country and its great imperial, you know, adventures. This is what you do. You're supposed to be responsible for what your country does and join together with others. And so I did.
Fred Lonadier lives in San Diego. You can see some of the photos he took of his years stirring up trouble in Seattle at our website, knkxsoundeffect.org.